Praise the Lord. Greetings to you all in the sweet and loving name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I thank and praise God for giving me this opportunity this Sunday morning to exhort a few words to you about something that's really important in our lives. Something that we should do every day. That's prayer. What is prayer? It's communication with God. It's worship. Worship is a form of prayer. Thanksgiving is a form of prayer. Let our requests being made known to God is also a type of prayer. The spiritual understanding what we get from reading the Word of God and praying is again a prayer. And telling our needs to the Lord more than our wants is a type of prayer. And again, worship, that's the ultimate type of prayer that we can give to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me tell you an example. There happened to be a lady in Florida who had an emergency. Now, the emergency situation she was having was in her local McDonald's. The officers, when she called 911, the officers didn't take her seriously. Because to her, even if it was an emergency, to the other people or to the cops, it wasn't. So she ordered 10 McNuggets. And they took the money from her. They placed the order. They went inside, checked, and saw that they didn't have McNuggets. So the manager of the local McDonald's said, what we could do is we could give you something else, maybe a McDouble or something else. She said she didn't want anything else apart from the McNuggets, and the manager wasn't ready to give her back the money. And that was the emergency she had. So even though it wasn't an emergency for everyone else, it was an emergency for her. And she had to go through all the hassles of calling the cops. And then finally what she got was a free order of McNuggets later when she returned. So that's how today's modern society is. Now, our culture affects our lives. Now, we are living in a consumer-based economy, and we are conditioned to believe that custom is important. Whatever the customer says is important. If the customer doesn't like a place, we go to a next store or the next place where we will get a better service. Now, this mindset has affected how we live as Christians, how we attend churches. There are, in some cases, we see people who do not like a church go to another church. But that is not how we should be. And that is not how we should pray. Now, around Christmas, most of the Christians have a thought that around Christmas is what when Jesus was born. And that's when they remember Christ, what he did for us. And as kids, maybe we've seen kids line up at the mall. They go sit on the Santa's lap. The Santa might be a person with a fake beard, and sitting on his lap, he or she would tell, "I need this, I need that," all the wishes, which they think might come true, but it's actually their parents getting it for them. So that's how Christians live in today's world. No, we've all experienced that. I don't know if not in today's modern cars, but in the olden cars, even I've experienced back in 2014, right in front of KPC after church. I had my keys inside the car and I got locked outside. So the coat hanger is the one thing that can pull the lock out from the inside. But I didn't know how to do it, and it was a rental car, so I had to call the tow truck. And they came in and pulled it out for me. So a lady, apparently an old lady, it was raining heavily, and she got herself locked outside the car. She prayed, "Dear Jesus, dear Lord, please send someone to help me." Now, moments later, a big, tall man with a lot of tattoos on his body and a bandana got out. And looking into the heavens, she said, "Is this the help that you're sending me?" Now, he took the coat hanger from the lady and pulled it out in a jiffy. And she said, "Thank you, gentlemen. You are such a nice man." The person replied, "No, ma'am, I'm not a nice man. I just got out of prison today for Grand Theft Auto, for stealing cars." Then she looked up to heaven and said, "Thank you for sending me a professional." Now, that raises the question, why should we pray? James 4:8 says, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." There are five reasons why we should pray. First, we are exhorted, encouraged, and commanded us to pray. Jesus commanded us to pray. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping the only mind of thanksgiving. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. We could go on and on with verses where God intends or God wants us to pray. Now, he wants to hear from us. He wants to talk with us. He wants to speak to us, his heart's desire. But that can only happen when we pray. Now, the second reason why we should pray is Jesus equipped us to pray. And when you're praying, do not use vain repetition, meaningless repetition like the Gentiles do. We read that in Matthew 6, chapter 6, verses 7 onwards. They think that they would be heard with many words, but we shouldn't be like that. We should communicate to God, our Father, and he knows, and you should know what you need to ask him. And that's the reason he set an example prayer, and that's written from verse 12 onwards. Now, this passage, Matthew 6, was from the Sermon on the Mount. Even in the midst of his sermon, he turns his attention to the subject of prayer, because prayer is such an important thing in our lives. And he starts teaching his followers about the importance of prayer. Now, he's telling them how prayer should be a part of their lives and to be a part of their daily lives, of their families' lives. And Jesus gives them a model prayer in the Lord's Prayer. Now, the third reason why we should pray is God uses our prayers to advance his purposes. This is why we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now, when we pray for God's will and for God's work, we enhance it and speed its completion. Now, prayer is what ensures the triumph of God, triumph of the gospel, and the establishment of God's kingdom on earth. Now, it is not our prayers that changes God's plan, but that in a wonderful way, he uses our prayers to accomplish what he intends to accomplish through us. Because ultimately, that is the goal of our Father. Now, God harnesses the prayers of his people to his unchangeable plans as one means by which he will bring them to pass. Now, this is why God loves when we pray, why he puts all that power into our hands. Prayer is a powerful thing. And why he so highly esteems people who pray, because they become co-laborers and partners in his mission, you know, in the vineyard. Now, every movement in the advancement of the gospel, every movement was created and inspired by prayer. So everything had prayer behind it. Now, in all this, prayer proceeds, and it is a necessary thing that we need to do for the work of God. Let me tell you a story. In the late 19th century in Africa, there was an old man digging for gold. He digged for many years, and a river which ran out of water was the prime digging area. And so each time he used to get a little bit of gold to keep his interest going, but he never landed something that's big, that's a fortune. Now, he was suspecting another part of the river which was quite new to him. And again, every day he goes, he digs, and he finds a little gold, but that's not what he expected. So he was exhausted and discouraged. And as he was one day, as he was going to back home after a day's work, he saw some pebbles, and he brushed them, and they just looked like normal pebbles. And he put it in a tin in his house and kept it away. And he forgot all about it. And for almost 10 years, he kept digging to eventually find the gold that he had, but he never found it. And he grew sick, he was bedridden, and he passed away. Now, the cops came to his house to find if he had something that would help him in his funeral, but he had nothing. And then they found this tin. This tin, when they opened this tin, they found those pebbles. And those pebbles were, interestingly, diamonds. But the old man never knew that he had found diamonds, which was almost a fortune. And that what paid for his funeral. So we, as Christians, we have unlimited riches. We have untold riches. But we need to tap them all, or we need to receive them in prayer or through prayer. Now, the fourth reason why we should pray is because prayer is a spiritual weapon. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6, 12, chapter 6, verse 12, 13, and 18 says, "For our battle is not against flesh and principalities, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the forces of this darkness, and against the spiritual wickedness in high places. So let us take up the full armor of God and resist every evil that comes against us, every temptation that comes against us, to stand firm. But with all this, we need prayer. And with prayer and petition in the Spirit, let us be alert with all perseverance and petition to all the saints." Now, Paul reminds his readers that we are all engaged in a war. The war is between the armies of heaven and those of hell. So as Christians, if we do not pray, we are not equipped with that weapon, the weapon of prayer, because weapon is a spiritual weapon. And we cannot call ourselves children of God, because as long as we are not soldiers for Christ, we are not children of God, because we do not have the weapon. So let us bow our heads these days, turn more to God, and pray. And prayer should not be, I mean, it can be a reason. Maybe we have few needs that we need. I need this, I need that, and all our wants. That can be placed as a prayer. But more than that, Jesus wants us to pray according to his will. Only when we pray according to his will that the commandment of heaven is fulfilled. Now, the fifth reason why prayer is important is because it's a means of grace. Now, John Wesley considered prayer an essential part of Christian living. He called it in many of his writings, and he explained how powerful and important is prayer, and as a means, the grace that comes with it. Now, prayer empowers us for ministry and following God. Now, let us look at the example of Jesus. After teaching a large crowd, or after healing many people used to flock on and on to wherever he goes. He was quite famous. But amidst all that, he found a time to leave everything aside, go into the wilderness, and speak to the Father in prayer. And that's what these days, no matter how busy our lives gets, how much time we don't have, every day, the example of Jesus should be a reminder for us to go and sort some time for prayer, be it personal prayer, family prayer, or public prayer, anything. And that's what our Heavenly Father desires from us. Now, prayer determines the whole attitude of our lives. It develops an attitude of dependence and trust in God. We learn to trust in God more and more. And now that places us in a position where we can receive more of God's grace. Now, prayer is a direct appeal to God. It's a petition for help and for grace. It enables us to commune with God, who is the source of all grace. Now, when our soul is in contact with God, in conversation with God, in association with him, it will not only build us an attitude to receive grace, but it will actually lead us to seek grace, because we are now in a position to receive it. Now, Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8 says, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." Now, we are directed to ask as a means of receiving, to seek in order to find the grace of God and to knock open the floodgates of God. Now, when grace enters our lives, we are empowered to do the work of the kingdom. And as Jesus promised, to do even great things, because through him, we are much more powerful than we think we are. Now, as I said before, private family prayer and public prayer, they're all powerful means of grace. Now, it is a glorious gift of God's love, for in and through it, each and every one of us can come close to the throne of grace and enter into a meaningful life. Our life shouldn't be just the morning routines, work, looking after kids, and then again sleep, and then again repeat. So that shouldn't be our lives. It should be a transforming relationship with the Almighty. We have to go more and more closer to the Heavenly Father. Now, spending time with God or in prayer shouldn't be considered as a core at all. It's part of our lives, and that's how we get to commune with God. Now, God is life. He is everything. So each and every moment, each and everything that we do should be with God by prayer. And prayer shouldn't be a distraction from your communication with God, which is a true life. As I said, prayer is an important part of our Christian lives. So there are five reasons, again, to cap for prayer. First, because Jesus commanded us to pray. Second, because Jesus equipped us to pray. Third, because Jesus uses our prayer to advance his will. Fourth, because prayer is a spiritual weapon. And fifth, because it's a means of grace. This morning, let us look at our lives. The best thing that we can do is follow the steps of Jesus. No matter how busy he got time to go into the wilderness and pray and seek the face of the Father. And that's what we should do in these end times. May God bless us with these words. Praise the Lord.